Friday Night Football. On 11:16 SEN, the 2015 Toyota AFL Premiership season.
SEN football is ready to go.
Here's Dermot Brereton, Cameron Mooney, Rowan Connolly, Matt Granlund, and Anthony Hudson.
8 minutes past seven. Welcome, everyone, once again to Etihad Stadium. We are now into Friday Night Footy. That was the coach's box, done and dusted for another week. But huge game coming up between Essendon and North Melbourne. North Melbourne are out on Etihad Stadium as we speak. SEN Footy for CTI. Need a builder's license. For free information sessions, visit ctibuild.com.au. And Spectrum Business Park, Mount Waverley, just 200 metres from the Monash Freeway. Move your business to a premium location, spectrumbusinesspark.com.au. Into our match preview for Cremagen, Melbourne's number one solar hot water supplier to the building trade. Cameron Mooney is with us as we look ahead to what will be a huge match. Moons, only 42 minutes to the bounce for Tissot Swiss Watches. Tissot, the official timekeeper of the AFL. We're not too far away from the bounce. Do you give Essendon any chance tonight?
Not the way they're playing at the moment. No, I don't. But I reckon, again, we talk about the emotional motion of football and what it can bring to a football team. We've seen it a few times last year with Essendon, and no question they'll be using it. No question he'll be given the old us-against-them routine that I'm sure that he gave last year a few times. And look, if Watson gets into this game in a big, big way, he's an inspirational leader, has been for since he's taken over the job. But his last 2 years in particular, his leadership has just been nothing short of incredible. And when he gets up and going in these types of games, everyone follows suit very quickly. So I think it's going to be a huge test to see who they put on Watson, because to me, if I'm Brad Scott, I want to shut Watson straight out of the game early. And if I do that, I feel like I'm on the way to winning the game.
As Moons alluded to, Rowan Connolly is with us for Budget Car and Truck Rental. For the best rental deals, go to budget.com.au. He said goodbye to his new best mate, Mick, and he's back with us in the box. So, Row, what about North Melbourne? We haven't talked about North Melbourne at all tonight.
I think if you were taking...
How are they travelling?
Well, if you're looking at the six games as a whole, given that they finished the year a top four side, you'd have to say disappointing, I think, relative to expectations, because I tipped them to...
But aren't we talking about this new fixture? To be 3-3, that's probably fair, isn't it?
Oh, well, they've played some decent teams.
I mean, Hawthorn are 3-3, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the fixture, and so we spoke about it, how good it's been. Yeah. And this is the reason why we're seeing these sides from top four being 3-3.
Yeah. Right. I'm just saying that relative to where they finished, I think the gap between their best and worst is
still big.
A chasm at the moment. I mean, they were pretty ordinary against Hawthorn, weren't they? And
Well, they got bullied against.
They did.
Take away the silly hits from Hodge and
they
were bullied everywhere.
Out tough.
Yeah.
And you know they've had some okay wins. And last week was just a win. I don't think they would have got a heap out of that. But by the same token, when they have put it together and they probably played their best footy. I know it was against weaker opposition, but round two against Brisbane. So they are capable of getting on a roll. We saw them do it to Essendon in the finals last year. And I think that's a danger for Essendon. Essendon, to me, has played a stodgy sort of footy. And if North do get that run and carry going, I think it's going to be really hard for Essendon to stop.
Still, yeah, we're missing Wells and Del Santo still.
Yeah, absolutely. They're huge misses. But I think I love the inclusion of Sean Higgins. I think he's been exactly what they wanted, to go and get. And I think he's brought that. He's kicked 11 or 12 goals for the year, and he's averaging nearly 20 possessions. So,
well,
doing his part,
they've got. I think I did it during. Had a look at it during the week. Five or six players that have kicked more than 10 goals or more than nine goals.
And that's what I love.
And Essendon have only got one.
Their spread of goal kickers,
and he's kicked 10.
Yeah, the spread of goal kickers has been great. And look, they go in against. It's still, in my opinion, a very, very good back line. Now, they've been put under so much pressure over the last couple of weeks that people might say, oh, well, their backs are no good. Well, you know what? Their back six are still very, very good, and they're doing a fantastic job with under the pressure they're under. But you look at the matchups down there in Hooker and Hurley, Fletcher. You know, you've got Waite, Petrie, Brown, you know, for the tallers, and you've got Harvey and Thomas through there. You've got Hibbard and Bagley as a small. So it's going to be a great matchup down that end. It's the other end that's going to be the problem.
Essendon do heavily load up their back line, though, don't they? I mean, they've always got a spare back there. They do take a lot of intercept marks, but often with a lot of numbers. And therefore, it's hard for them to necessarily score at the other end because it means their forward line's always outnumbered.
I reckon it's just a hunch. I haven't been told this, but I just wonder if they might change up and go smaller in that forward line tonight. Now, just having a look at the Roos back line, it's not an overly tall back line, so that might give them a chance to do that. Langford is an interesting one. He's only playing his second game, and he did look a little bit lost in his first game against St Kilda, but he has that capacity to be very mobile, almost as a medium-sized forward, I think. Ambrose, they need more out of him. He doesn't get enough of the ball, but he's very mobile.
Forward, yep.
I'm just wondering if they might, you know, they might
with
send...
With no Carlisle, I mean, how does that change their...
Well, McKernan, you'd think, slides in for him as a key forward, but McKernan will ruck as well. This is a big issue, though, because Todd Goldstein's in terrific form, and Tom Bell-Chambers is in whatever the opposite of terrific form is.
And it's really, it's the first time he's had to carry that load as being the genuine number one ruckman, isn't it?
I mean, Bell-Chambers.
I know Ryder...
Well, it's the role that he wanted.
Yeah, it was. And he had that first, sort of had a breakout year where he was that sort of that... Yeah. But Ryder was still playing and still giving him that chop out of...
Well, I wrote about this the other day.
It was a good article. It was a really good article.
Well,
I hate to say that to you, Ron, but it was.
Why do you all hate giving me praise?
You crave it so much. Because
you do enough of it yourself.
No, fair enough. He was always going to be a big loss, but I think as the weeks have gone on, the extent of it's hit home more because he was the third tall on the forward line and he was a winning ruckman. And Bill Chambers just doesn't have the capacity either to win the ruck at the moment or to be an effective forward.
Well, he's an elite centre-bounce ruckman, Paddy Ryder. I mean,
his tap work is
absolutely elite. So it will be interesting to see at that battle. I mean, Goldstein, you know, you take out Fife. I think Goldstein's been one of the most effective players in the competition.
Yeah, sorry, terrific. Just to go back on Ryder, I mean, Bell-Chambers in the ruck, you throw Ryder down forward. All of a sudden, the pressure's not on Carlisle. The pressure's not on Danaher, like the way it is right now. And you mentioned it before. Yes, they get their numbers back. So their ball movement hasn't been fast. So what does that give the opposition chance to do? Fold back.
Yeah.
And as soon as they do that, you're talking about a couple of young kids, as far as inexperience goes. They don't know how to handle numbers back. They don't know how to crash packs and do all these types of things to create space for themselves.
Essendon demographically they're building, you know, they've recruited Cooney and they've recruited Goddard. They're building to try and win a flag.
Got the second oldest list
in the now, not in the future. If nothing changes this year, just so they go through and they have they improve, but they have another year where they just make the eight. And do they have to make a call on their spine? Do they have to potentially trade a Jake Carlisle or one of those guys? Because unless he becomes that effective forward, he kicked a bag of eight against the Dogs last year and everyone said he'd arrive. He kicked a bag of four a couple of weeks ago with a couple of handballs over the top. Is he ever going to be the... I know, you know, Danaher's young and you've got to give him time.
How old is Carlisle?
He's still
22?
Young.
22?
Yeah, I think 22.
Look, he's still got a good year or two of developing. This is a position that he's not quite used to. I mean, he's nearly an All-Australian centre-half back.
He's 23.
So this is not a position that he's used to. So he needs a little bit of time, but... Have Essendon got the patience for that? Mm. Can they go and...
I mean, consider what you could get for...
Yeah, could you give him up and get something in that's going to be 25 or 26 years of age that can give you 40, 50 goals?
Well, the other complication here has been the Hurley-Carlisle...
Mm. Well, it's part of the same discussion, isn't
it? Well, it is. And Hurley, people automatically say, oh, we'll send Hurley forward. But if you have a look at Hurley's performances up forward, he's been a bit more consistent. But he hasn't been a real taker game by the scruff of the neck.
And I can tell you now, Hooker and Hurley... They love that combination. They will not change that combination.
Oh, well, Hurley's been far better at centre-half back than he ever was at up forward.
So they're not going to change that. So it's up to Jakey Carlisle to do something about his career. And has he got the mentality to do that?
On 11.16 SEN, it's time for the Shizen Files.
Du Bois, quick hand pass away. Well done, here's our new boy, Mzungo. He kicks it, gets it down. What's up?
That is complete shizen.
The Shizen Files.
Looks like he's hurt the inside of his bottom side of the foot, the top side. He's pointing everywhere at the moment, so he's in a little bit of pain.
That is complete shizen.
The Shizen Files.
How difficult is it to stay away from home, but here being, you know, away, for protracted periods of time, 10 months or so? Is there always a pull back to up north?
Oh, I'm lucky. I'm from Lara. So 10 minutes down the
road. Well, I know. That is complete shizen.
The Shizen Files.
Past 7 and on our SEN match preview for Cromagin, Melbourne's number one solar hot water supplier to the building trade, it's time to welcome your host for the Shizen Files, Cameron Mooney.
Come on down. Thank you very much, Anthony. We'll get straight into it with Jared Healy, one of our fellow members at Fox Footy, making up a new word during the Port Eagles game during the weekend.
Well, Hearn's got it this time as he goes down the middle.
He does. Oh, but there's an element of danger about that, even though it was as short
creative,
as it was.
Though. This is really inventive stuff out of the back half.
High risk.
Talk about inventive. He's got away with it, Shuey, with a good tackle break.
Again.
Didn't get dobbed in by someone, did he, Hutto?
No, not at all.
No, of course not. Sandy
it's
Roberts.
It's amazing you can text and commentate at the same time.
The great man, Sandy Roberts, gets a bit confused at three-quarter time with the Dogs and Saints game.
It is three-quarter time. The biggest comeback from half-time is 52 points. Are the Saints going to break that? Because they're coming back from 49.
Absolute gold sandals. Miss Universe Australia. Now, this is her advice for young girls. Now, we missed this one last week, so apologies.
And it's hard because people, yeah.
Can we go back and do that one again? That is gold.
Let me just what?
That is gold.
Go again. My brain.
And it's hard because people, yeah.
Oh, poor girl. We've all had those blanks.
Yeah, nah.
All right, BP. Forgets where he's calling the Port Eagles game last Sunday.
Massive kick out from Shannon Hearn. It's gone right into the middle of Etihad Stadium, but taken quickly here by Hobbs. Gives it away. Kick inside forward 50 is wide.
He gets around a bit. You can forgive that one.
He does get around a lot. Great man. Now, Gazy, during the week, you're the ultimate quiz master.
Buzz is ready. Who is Dave Hughes' older brother? No, sorry.
What?
Dave Hughes?
David
Hussey.
How's he going?
Just let me put my glass back on. Who is Dave Hussey's older brother?
Oh, my God.
He let go of a bit of a snort there as well, did he? Ah, fantastic. Now, Ro, I don't know if you're a big fan of the Wonder Years growing up.
Oh, yeah. No. You would have been, Kevin and Kevin Arnold.
Growing up, I was a massive
Winnie Cooper.
Yeah,
Winnie Cooper.
I was a massive Wonder
Winnie
Years
Cooper
fan.
Be about
and this
15,
is what happened on the weekend.
Got some good and bad news, Fred Savage. Shane Savage down here. Looks like he's got the red vest on, so he had a fantastic poker face, so I thought he was okay. So he's been red vested.
As soon as I said, don't say Fred.
What about
away.
Red vested? I didn't know that was a verb.
Yeah,
either.
No, I was happy with red vested.
Okay. We're going to go with that from now on, red vested.
Now, Ox got this, got his important days mixed up when calling last weekend.
Off Shuey, and Shuey wraps him up like a Mother's Day Christmas present. A Mother's Day present.
Can we just have that again, please?
Off Shuey, and Shuey wraps him up like a Mother's Day Christmas present. Mother's Day Christmas present. A Mother's Day present.
Now this is the Giants-Hawks game. This is Ox calling Mummy when he was going for a goal.
Gets it about 70. They're going to fly. Up they go. Big Mummy punches it down. Mitchell's there. Canelio, good work. Over the top. Mummy! 40 out! Mummy misses to the left. That would have brought the house down.
Now, great Tarzan impersonation, but this is the real Tarzan. Now, this is Ox and Tarzan.
Can we play them together?
Oh, love him.
He just needs to crank it up a bit, Ox. He doesn't get excited enough.
It would just be handy if it's when he actually kicks the goal.
Now, Peter Badusto.
Yeah, we go. Did you get that one, boys?
Badusto. On the run home last night, obviously out of touch with the current Blues list.
You know, when we get hopefully the four or five good ones back, Simo and Jamo and... a couple of others, Henderson and Garlett. Well, you know, it might change a little bit.
I don't think Garlett's going to come back.
Well, I was just thinking Lance Whitnall could make a huge difference.
Yeah, huge.
Sticks would be fantastic down there right now. Now, our man, Matty G, talking about Barnaby Joyce during the week, just got a little bit mixed up. Oh, and this is today, actually, sorry, the footy, footy fix.
Every other country's bagging us now because we've told Johnny Depp take his dogs home or we'll be putting them down.
Yeah, Barnaby French. You would have thought
You know what? I heard that and I thought it was Ox and I didn't bat an eyelid. But I can't believe Matty G did that.
Just thinking about the old... Oh,
am I allowed to say that Barnaby French would make a better fist of that job than Barnaby Joyce?
Yes, you can say that very
okay,
much.
I just
right.
did.
Last week's
very
winner,
well.
Moons.
All right, last week. This is last week's winner.
I think the decision, the process, like from a pure football situation, on the decision that he made, the situation, the position on the field, the opposition player, where he was situated, where the ball was, where the angle he was coming from. I can understand entirely from a football perspective how that was. That hadn't, would have had very little malice and was all about trying to come back and win the ball and defend.
You can understand.
That's fantastic.
You can understand from a football perspective, just not from an English perspective.
Now, I honestly thought that that should have been our clubhouse leader. But unfortunately, yours truly is still in the lead with this one.
He's 2 foot nothing, and we saw him take on Big Sandilands and then bring him down as well. Look, he's a fantastic young kid, has a crack, he's got great skills, good decision maker, and he's a good gymnasium.
Gymnast. Magnificent.
Thank you very much.
Got Adam Kearney with me, obviously out injured at the moment. Been a big week for the club again, Adam. You've been around the player group a while now. How would you assess the emotional impact of the decision of WADA to appeal?
I don't really know at this stage. Obviously, it was a bit of a shock early on in the week finding out the news, and then obviously the players were pretty disappointed about that, but we sort of had a meeting pretty early on, did our game review after that, and it was pretty much back to footy straight away. So the players have been through it all before. It's been a long 2.5 years and looks like it's going to go on longer. So hopefully that WADA can do their whatever they need to do in their submissions, in their case, and go about their business quietly for the next few months until we get it sorted out.
I guess the difference this time is most of the past 2 years it's been hanging over their heads, having now had the feeling that it was over, to sort of be plunged back into the abyss, if you like. I mean, I guess put yourself in their shoes, it'd be pretty shattering, wouldn't it?
I think it would be, yeah, for sure. There's no doubt about that. I think everyone in the footy world was shattered to hear that there was an appeal going on. Everyone just wants it over and done with. But it's not to be, and the players are a pretty resilient bunch. So they've been through a lot, and they're going to go through another probably 6 or 9 months now of this hanging over their heads, which isn't great. But I've got full confidence that the guys can concentrate on their footy, which they have done the last 2 years, and hopefully start really well tonight and go well.
I guess it's taken the focus off some on-field issues, and there are some fairly serious ones, I would have thought. The forward line just doesn't seem to have improved on last year in terms of converting opportunities. What do you think's been the major issue?
I think it's been more to do with our ball movement into the forward line. It hasn't been great. I think at times we've had some entries that have gone into the forward line, either shallow entries or wide, which doesn't give the forwards the best opportunity. And we haven't actually been able to hold the ball into in our forward line. Guys, the other opposition have been defending pretty well and rebounding outside 50. So we need better entries inside 50 and lock the ball in there.
So midfield obviously lost some numbers as well. Fair bit of pressure on Job and Dyson Heppel at the moment. What do you think the midfield's sort of lacking?
Probably a little bit of polish. Last week, watching the game from home in Perth, I think we turned the ball over through the mid-arc range a fair bit. So we need a little bit more polish going through there. We just need to assess our options a little bit better, lower our eyes, and just move the ball quicker. I think we've been probably a little bit tentative the way we've been moving the ball. So a little bit more freedom the way we're moving it would be good.
So has Hurdy, in terms of the training work, has Hurdy been concentrating on that ball movement, trying to get quicker?
I'd say it would have been. I haven't been out there for the last couple of weeks, but it definitely is a focus that we need to improve on, and we have been lacking in the last couple of weeks.
And it's a huge game, this, isn't it? Both sides are 3-3, but if you get on the negative side of the ledger this early in the season, it's hard to keep clawing back that ground.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge game for both sides. Both sides want to be up there this year, we know that, and we want to be competitive. It's a huge game. To go 4-3 will put us in a really good position moving forward.
So you and Paul Chapman were pretty close this week. Does that mean you're sort of guaranteed to come back next week?
Yeah, I'd say I'll be guaranteed. Hoping that there'll be no hiccups during the week, but I'll lock myself into play next week.
Where are you watching the game tonight?
I'm not too sure yet. Probably just in a little seat somewhere.
We'll behave.
Yeah, exactly right.
Well, thanks for joining us. Hope to see you back in the Guernsey next week.
No worries. Cheers, bro.
down in front of a North Melbourne room. Got assistant coach Lee Tudor with me. And Lee, you've been around the scene a lot, but one problem that continues to plague a lot of league teams in the Roos, I reckon, this season is inconsistency.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's the two things we're focused on this week has been starting well and winning the contested ball. And they're probably the things that most clubs want to do.
The Hawthorn game was particularly disappointing. Do you think Richmond last week seemed to be a fairly scrappy affair? How much confidence do you reckon was restored by that result?
Yeah, although at halftime of the Hawthorn game, we really thought we were in it. And we just made some really basic errors in probably the last 10 minutes, which blew the game out. So we were really keen to make sure we had a four-quarter effort against the Tigers. And again, you know, we wanted to win the contested ball. And I think when Goldie and Cunners got going in that second quarter, you know, everyone else joined in.
Obviously, big story this week's been the WADA appeal, and you can't afford to focus too much on the opponent, but have you discussed sort of what sort of emotional impact that could have on the opposition, whether it's positive or negative?
Yeah, no, we haven't talked about that side of Essendon at all. We've just looked at the way they've played and how we think they'll use the ball and how we think they'll defend and what they're going to do at stoppages. So the off-field stuff we haven't worried about. We just worry about what they're going to bring tonight.
Your recent record on this ground is sort of mixed. I think it's about 50-50 over the last couple of years. Is there anything you particularly need to do well at Etihad to get the result?
Start well for us. When we do start well, we generally finish off well. So that's been the big focus for us. And it can be a really transition game here. Ball can go up and back a fair bit. So we just want to make sure that, you know, when, you know, the Bombers get the ball, that we close them down as quick as we can.
And fairly stable lineup, only the one change this week. I guess that's one plus, things sort of settling down with the 22.
Yeah, it's good. Mason, you know, he's played his five games now. Young player, just needed a bit of a rest. So, you know, that was the only change for us. So, you know, hopefully after last week, the boys can back it up again.
Well, it should be a pretty entertaining game. Good luck with it.
Great. Thanks, Ron.